Hi, this is Mark Brady. I'm the pastor at Anchor Faith Church in Valdosta, Georgia. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast today. We believe it will bless you and minister to you. Now get ready to receive a word from God.
This word Christian, we use it the most, but it's probably the most unacceptable or unsatisfactory term for redeemed believers. Just going to tell you. I'm going to go ahead and let you know the word Christian is found in Scripture three times. Never did Jesus use it, Paul use it, Peter use it, or any apostle. It was used by pagans, outsiders, to call individuals that looked like Christ, and it wasn't a compliment. Now, we have used it as a compliment, but they were using it as a derogatory term. Oh, look at those Christians. Oh, they think they're Christians. Oh, they think they're followers of Christ. It was a derogatory term. It was not used as, oh man, they so highly represent Jesus. However, we do find this word disciple 268 times. And I love the quote that I recently heard from an individual. In the last days, the greatest need is that Christians would become disciples. That there is a deeper level of following and a deeper level of living this new, redeemed, born-again life. The last time I ministered at Kingdom Rise, I think it was in 2022 in St. Augustine. We held Kingdom Rise there. It was either there or maybe Fort Walton, one of the two. I ministered on discipleship. I ministered on the born-again life. And we identified in John chapter 3 that Jesus identified the born-again life not with being set free from something, but being set free for something. He said, unless one is born again, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. He's talking about experience. He's talking about the realities of heaven coming to the earth. He's talking about living not just with a confession of something as lip service, but being fully bought into something. And when you do that, you're not more aware of what you came from. You're more aware of what you're going into. And so we're talking about a deeper level. Son of God would be a more acceptable role or title that we see in the word. Sons and daughters, royal offspring, right? The Bible was about a king, his kingdom, and his royal offspring, his children, royalty, you and I. We also see terms like this, saints. Saints simply means this, set apart. A saint is one that is set apart. And the Bible regularly calls us saints. The Bible calls us beloved. The Bible calls us brethren. The Bible also uses this term. Paul uses this term often. He calls us citizens. To really understand ambassador, you have to understand citizenship. Now, here's what we need to understand about citizenship, and this is where the discrepancy between what the Word of God identifies us as versus Christian or Christianity. Is that citizenship is not chosen. One does not simply choose to become a citizen of a territory. Now, yes, one can come from a nation to another nation and say, I want to be a citizen of that nation. But what we have to understand is you don't choose to be a citizen and it's literally on your choice alone. There's an application. Right. And that application introduces you to a contract. And there is a contractual agreement that the nation now accepts your application for citizenship. And they can also deny an application for citizenship. Again, we're already deep into stuff that is very much different than come to an altar, boohoo, and cry and have remorse but no real repentance and then just say something and I automatically am that. No, we're talking about agreements. We're talking about binding contracts. We're talking about there's a side that the nation upholds and there's a side that the citizen upholds. Much different than the versions of Christianity and Christian that we have today. And so to understand this citizenship, in fact, let's look at it here in Philippians chapter 3. Let's start there. I'm not talking about the kingdom concept of citizenship. However, we do need to understand citizenship because citizenship is a prerequisite of an ambassador. You'll never be an ambassador if you're not first a citizen. It's impossible. How are you going to represent a nation you do not already belong to? That there's not already a contractual agreement. Amen? So Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, I'm going to read this out of the CSB. Verse 17, he says this, join in imitating, everyone say imitating. Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, he's talking to believers now, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example, everyone say example, you have in us. So he's used two words here. He says imitating me, and he says example, imitation and example. For I have often, verse 18, for I have often told you and now say again with tears that many live, watch this, as enemies. Everyone say enemies. See, this kingdom is not a half in, half out kingdom. As we learned last night, you have to be fully bought in. Pastor Darrell made an amazing statement. I now live the rest of my life discovering what I've become a part of. And that's what we ought to do. But too many have accepted the entry level, if that's even possible. I question that. But, just for the sake of conversation, entry level of saying with my mouth or saying some kind of prayer and believing that they've really just merely received an escape route from the earth. Hell insurance, fire insurance, right? Not truly accepted the life of the kingdom that we've entered into. And there's no imitation. There's no example. There's no representation taking place. You still fully live like what you came out of, supposed to have come out of. You know, Colossians 3 says you've been transferred from the domain of darkness. That word transfer means you abandon and leave behind everything from your previous existence. Doesn't happen overnight. But it's a working toward, I'm leaving that behind. And every time something is revealed and every time something is identified in my life that goes or opposes the cross, enemies of the cross, he calls it, I abandon it quickly. I'm not secured to that. I'm not tied to that. My allegiance is full to the King in his kingdom. And I abandon and leave behind anything that does not align with this new kingdom I've been brought into. In fact, that word transfer is actually a military term. It speaks to when a nation would conquer another nation and take those individuals from a nation and bring them to their home country, almost as slaves. Now, we are not slaves by force. We're slaves by surrender. I yield to this new nation, to this new territory, and to this new king. Verse 19 says, their end is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame, and they are, look at this, focused on earthly things. The New King James says they have their mind set on things of the earth. We've seen that before, haven't we? Galatians chapter 3, we'll look at it later. Set your minds on what? Things above now, where Christ is. Because your life is hidden with Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ. Why would I want to have my mind set on anything inferior to the kingdom that I've now established my allegiance with? Anything below what my king would have for me? Look at what verse 20 says. Our citizenship, everyone say citizenship, is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is our first step to becoming ambassadors. That's the first step. Now, I mean, you know, we can always assume, but I feel pretty confident on a Monday morning, 8:30 a.m. at Kingdom Rise, that we're speaking to those who would regard themselves as citizens of the kingdom of God. If you are not, we can take care of that. That's easy. It's simple. There is a confession to make, and you're entering a contractual agreement with the king saying, I'm abandoning all that I was to receive all that you are and all that you have. I want to live to your kingdom, not to mine any longer. That's citizenship in and of itself. When one becomes a citizen of another territory, a new nation, they are entering an agreement, not simply by choice, but through application. Y'all understand? So we have to understand this citizenship. But Genesis chapter 1, we like to go to the beginning, don't we? Genesis chapter 1 shows us what God was originally trying to establish. We don't have a large image or a large picture of what God, what the earth looked like and what this realm looked like in perfect harmony with God's plan, right? I mean, by Genesis 3, everything is destroyed. We have ruined God's plan through our disobedience, right? We swore allegiance to a different domain. We handed over our authority. We all know this. This is Kingdom Rise. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God says, reading out of the New Living, let us make human beings in our image. Look at this, to be like us. Everyone say be. So this isn't just about doing something. It doesn't say we're human doings. It says we're human beings, being and becoming like. We were designed to be like God. In and of itself, in its simplest form, you and I were designed to be like God. And God created us in the perfection of himself with his image and his likeness to be able to function, to be able to operate, to be able to do, to be able to represent him well. He put in man everything necessary to fulfill the being like us. What's the assignment? To rule and reign on the earth, right? He goes on to say, they will reign. Everyone say reign. So we know that we are rising up to our reigning authority. We are rising up to our position of rulership. We are rising up to the level of care and oversight of this territory, not to escape it, but to redeem it. A Christian, one who calls himself a Christian, that has no intention of redeeming the earth, but only to escape it, has no idea what they were created for. Wasted effort, wasted potential, sitting by, waiting to get to heaven, rather than discovering how to bring heaven. And so I would say this, that, and again, through this study, and as we look at this, I think that you will see the term Christian much different. Now, again, the word Christian means what it means. Christ follower, it actually means Christ-like. It means to be like Christ. But we know that there's a great discrepancy between its definition and what we're actually seeing in the earth today from those that call themselves Christians. But I believe the highest level of a redeemed individual is the level of being an ambassador. And this is what I've come to find out, is in our circles, in the church, let's just use the term church, because we are the church, right? We are the body of Christ. In the church, the term ambassador may be the most needed role of people who call themselves Christians or Christ followers. But it's the most absent role. It's the most needed, but I believe it's the most absent. And we've got to rise to the level of ambassadors. Right. Now, as we begin to discover ambassadors, you will find that this is not an unfamiliar role. In fact, the role of the ambassador, not just in a government sense, we'll obviously break it down in a government sense, but I would even say this, it is very well modeled in the business and corporate world. If you've ever been to any kind of entity that is franchised, you've seen this on display. If you've ever been to a Chick-fil-A, if you've ever been to a Publix, if you've ever been to a Pizza Hut, if you've ever been to a McDonald's, you are seeing ambassador displayed in front of you and you didn't even know it. You've seen what we're about to talk about. In fact, the corporate world does something well that the church hasn't even discovered. And we are the original ambassadors. God set up the original model and template for ambassadors. We may do it the least satisfactory, but in the corporate world, in the business world, in our, you can go to a different nation. You can go to a completely different country. I ate at a Pizza Hut in Nicaragua last year. I'd almost say it was better than ours. It was great. It's like it's almost as if you step out of Nicaragua and you step inside the Pizza Hut and you've entered a whole other world. And this is what it should be like when people step into our churches. This is what it should be like, I'll go even further, when they step into our sphere of influence. It's like they just stepped out of the reality of the domain of darkness and they just entered your world of the kingdom of God. This is what happens when ambassador is done well. This is what happens when we understand our role of not just saying a prayer and trying to get out of here, but we and not just belonging to a kingdom as slaves or servants, and not even just as sons and daughters of God, but to go even further and say, I am a representative.
Yeah, right.
So ultimately, that is what an ambassador is. When we talk about ambassadors, we are talking about representation. We're talking about imitation. We're talking about modeling what has been modeled for us. We're talking about example. We're talking about how you represent another. This is what an ambassador is. And let's just go ahead and break this down. I've got it on the screen. Desired. This well, ambassador. God desired. This was God's value. God desired to extend his heavenly kingdom to the earth through representatives who express his will, values, laws, and influence. This is God's desire that he would extend his heavenly kingdom from heaven to the earth through representatives. God created all of creation and then said this, it's still not complete. I need someone made in my image, someone made in my likeness that I'm going to extend my kingdom through human beings.
Yeah.
I need human beings as representatives of my rule, of my values, of my authority, of my power, of my will. Everything the king wants, they want. Everything the king does, they do. Everything the king says, they say. And what has been maybe the greatest travesty of it all, and the greatest danger of it all, is we have people that have said a prayer, say they're born again, but do not express or share the values of the King, His kingdom, His purpose, His rule, His authority, His power, His demonstration. Probably the greatest danger in the earth today is the opinionated Christian. In fact, there should be no such thing as an opinionated Christian. Let's go ahead and let you know now. In the kingdom, you never, ever have an opinion. You never have an independent thought, an independent interest, an independent word. Never. When you fully understand your role as an ambassador, you never speak your own mind. I mean, it doesn't even slip out. You don't spend time considering how you would do it. You don't spend time thinking, well, if I was in charge. You know, we have this whole thing that has raised up in the church today where we are trying to create this safe space for people to challenge the Word of God. There are literally ministers in pulpits today that will tell you that it's okay to wrestle with your doubts and wrestle with your challenging of Scripture, and God welcomes this. And what happens is it creates a questioning of a higher power, a questioning and a challenging of His authority. There's two ways you can ask questions. We've seen people do it all the time. In Scripture, there were those that asked questions because they truly wanted to grow and know. There were those that asked questions because they wanted to test and challenge and provoke. Yep. Yep. In Genesis 3, Satan asked a question, did God really say? And God asked a question, Adam, where are you? One of them asked the question to conceal truth. The other asked the question to reveal truth. Asking questions in and of itself is not bad, but what we've created now is this culture and this posture of asking questions in a challenging way. When you're an ambassador and you fully understand your role as an ambassador, the questions are not in a way to challenge or raise doubt or raise concern with where the Word of God stands. There is such a sworn allegiance that you could never be pried from one party to the other. And we've got to be careful where we swear our allegiances. Especially in this country, because we love our country and we love our positions and we love our independence and we love this is the thing you got to understand, guys. There are things that we love about our American democracy, the Republic of America. There are things that we love about this country that greatly oppose the kingdom of God. Greatly oppose. Independence is the most dangerous word in the kingdom of God. And we have a whole day for it. And thank God for it. For what this country was originally established on. But the thought process of independence is extremely dangerous. Let's just go ahead and identify it. I pulled this out yesterday morning in service, but we're never independent. Ephesians 2:2 tells us that we were once sons of disobedience, meaning that even when you thought you were doing your own independent thing, you were really just doing what the king of your previous country wanted you to do. You're always in submission to one or the other. So if you're going to submit, you might as well submit to the king that loves you, the king that has a great plan for you, the king that wants the best for you, the king that knows your destiny before you even came in the world. You might as well submit to his, because one of them is bringing life and life more abundantly. The other is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. So you just choose your alliance and you choose your allegiance. But understanding this capacity of ambassadors, The key thing that we have to understand is that we are representatives of another. In its simplest form, an ambassador is a representative of another. And I'm just going to be very introductory this morning, but we're going to break this down over the next couple days. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We all know it very well. Y'all can quote it. What's the first word of Matthew 6, 33? Seek. 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 I'm going to tell you right now, you're never going to accidentally represent the king in his kingdom. There's so much intentionality behind it. Now, people may say, well, that's just too much work. That's just too much effort. Well, I'll just go ahead and let you know, you're seeking something. The question is not if you're seeking. The question is what you're seeking. We are all being discipled by something or someone. You're a follower of something. You're surrendered to something. You're submitted to something. Well, I'm not submitted to anything. I'm my own person. Well, then you're submitted to the God of this world. We never have our own original independent thought. We're adopting our thinking and we're adopting our principles and we're adopting our values from something. And he tells us in 6:33, but seek first when? He goes ahead and tells you when to seek. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Why? Because anything else will pull your allegiance from the kingdom of God. So anything else that comes before seek first automatically compromises your ability to represent the kingdom of God. It must be seek first. He tells you what to do and he tells you when to do it. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that's not just the kingdom and all the stuff that comes with it, but it's the right standing. It's really this. It's the way God does something. Seek first the kingdom of God and the way he does it. Because you know what, people, if the enemy can't keep you from seeking the kingdom of God, he'll keep you from seeking the kingdom of God the way God does the kingdom of God. And he'll try to help you and assist you establish your own kingdom. All the while, this is what religion does. This is religion. Is you think you're seeking the kingdom, but you're doing it your way. That's what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was. It was getting access to something, but a different route than what God had established. God marked it off and said, do not eat. And the enemy immediately introduces you to do the very opposite of what the king establishes. Ambassadors don't do that. Ambassadors would respond and say, God said, we do not eat of that tree, lest we surely die. And they know the king's word, and they're able to recite it almost as if it was their own word. That's a whole nother level. Ambassadors don't say this. Well, if it were me, ambassadors don't say, well, this is what my king says. You adopt it as if you originally wrote it. You adopt it as if there is zero discrepancy between what the king wants and what I want. This is ambassador. That's why I say it may be the highest role within the kingdom. If we could put levels to this thing. Obviously, being a child of God is important, but many of you know that there are children running around that do not fully represent the family they come from. Even naturally speaking, we have this. That's not what I taught you. That's not what I instilled in you. That's not how we raised you. Come on. And of course, that breaks the father's heart. But what he wants from us is not just children that just say, well, that's my dad. And my loving dad lets me do what I want to do. And my loving dad accepts whoever I am. And my loving dad, no, he wants ambassadors. Ambassadors that fully represent, fully buy into what dad wants, and then fully executes that to the fullest extent. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. We're talking about representatives. We're talking about ambassadors. Colossians 3. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Verse 1 says, if then you have been raised with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. Yep. Amen. What's that mean? To a new life. Everyone say new life. See, new life should have new values. Guys, if there's anything in our new life that is still revealing the old life, then we haven't fully received the new life. This is elementary, right? To a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead. Well, you can't resurrect what hasn't first died. We're going to talk about that. He says what? Aim at and seek. Same thing we just saw in Matthew 6. Seek. Seek, seek. So there's got to be intentional interest in looking at certain things, because what I look at or what I seek after will shape and form and mold my belief systems, my values, my ideas. Look, we're not generating opinions outside of the Word of God on our own. It's being formed somewhere. Most people have been through some kind of experience that tells them sickness is not for today. The Holy Spirit is not for today. That homosexuality is okay. Somebody's got some kind of natural experience. But if you just take it to the Word, you can't challenge that. You have to use some kind of natural thing you've been through. I went to that church and they were kooky, running around, throwing chairs, speaking in other tongues. I never do that tongue talking stuff. You've got experience. You're trying to challenge the Word of God, established forever, will not fade away, with an experience? Yeah. I prayed for grandma and she died, and she was a faith believing, she a Bible thumping believer. I mean, she loved the Lord. Why did God take her to be an angel? And that experience challenges the Son of God that went about healing all that were diseased, destroying the works of the devil. I mean, if sickness were God's will, then Jesus was out of God's will. He healed every person he came in contact with, or at least tried to. The only time he couldn't do it is because of the people's disbelief, their unbelief, because of familiarity. It wasn't because Jesus couldn't do it, or sat one out, or said, you know, not God's will here in Nazareth. Go do this everywhere else. So what happens is we have these things that we go through that change and mold and shape our values. So what's he saying? You got to seek. You got to aim at. Aim at, seek the rich eternal treasures where? That are above. God, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to make a terrible ambassador if you have your eyes more set on things on the earth than on heaven. It won't work. It's not through osmosis. It's not through sitting in churches enough. You've got to seek after, diligently yearn for. The values of his territory are greater than what is down here. Those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, and set your minds and keep them set. That's good instruction. Have you ever had your, have you ever set your mind on something and then it didn't stay there? Absolutely. We've all been through that. They don't stay there. No, you set it. It's not set it and forget it. It was that commercial back in the day, back in the 90s, the little oven thing. Set it and forget it. No, we're not setting it and forgetting it. We are setting it and setting again and setting again and setting again and keeping them set on things above. The higher things, he says, not on things that are on the earth. How am I going to bring heaven to earth if my mind is set on earth? That won't work. That's contradictory. Verse 3 says, for as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. The Message translation reads this way. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue. Everyone say pursue. The things over which Christ presides. That means the things over which he has authority. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up, be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. There are three ways ambassadors represent the king and his kingdom. There are three ways the ambassadors represent the king and his kingdom. Number one, we represent the king's will. We have this, guys? Thank you. The king's will. This is his intent, his purpose, his intentions, his desired outcome. We represent the king's will. Number two, we represent the king's word. With God, his word and his will are inseparable. If he said it, that's what he wants. The king's word. That means we only say what he says. That means our word, we're going to find out, the word confess, it actually means this, a binding agreement. When you confess, you're coming into alignment with, agreement with God's word. What, you think you can just name it, claim it, and blab it, grab it, and say whatever? No, I'm not saying whatever I want. I'm saying what he wants. And when I come in agreement with his word, I get his results. God's word in my mouth is just as powerful as God's word in his mouth. I'm coming in agreement. Some of y'all are going to get set free from this because you're going to find out living as an ambassador is the most freeing way to live. It's going to get you off the hook for some things. I love when pastor, you know, I'm an ambassador. I'm an Anchor Faith Church ambassador. We did not come to Valdosta to present our will and establish our influence. We came to extend influence from St. Augustine, Florida to Valdosta, Georgia. And I'm aligned with and submitted to and surrendered with a head of a vision. And I love when pastor says to me like, well, just tell him, you know, that's how we do it at Anchor Faith Church. It'll get you off the hook. Put it on me. He's told me that before. Put it on me. It sets you free. There's deliverance that's going to come through this because you're going to find out that a lot of things you've been striving for and a lot of things you've been trying to do on your own, you've got a backing home country, support from the greatest government on the planet. Yeah. That you don't have to mine for it. What does he go on to say? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added. Yeah. You'd be fine that the adding is in just representing. Yeah. If I'll represent, he'll add. Yeah. I mean, my goodness, I don't have to strive for it. These are the things the Gentiles seek after. He's talking about basic necessities of life. The things that we think our life, I love what Miles Monroe says, your life is not trying to make a living. That's not living. That is not living, guys. trying to pay bills. God did not go through, and God's great authority and God's great plan was not to put human beings on a planet who strive to make it day by day. That's why he said, pray our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, right? Bringing heaven to earth. And then the very next thing is, give us this day our daily bread. It's not my job to get the daily bread. You'll bring it to me if I'm bringing heaven to earth. Oh my goodness. We're ambassadors. So we want to represent the king's will. Number two, we want to represent the king's word. That's his laws and promises. When you're a citizen of a kingdom, you adhere to both. There's no pick and choose. You don't come to America and say, well, I like that law, but I don't like this one. Or I want the benefit without submission to the authority. Y'all all right? You know, when we go through police stuff, you know, police brutality and different things. We've seen these things happen. And sure, those things really happen. And many people will say this, well, they're there to protect us. They're there to serve us. No, their first role is law enforcement. And as a result of enforcing law, those that keep the law receive the protection and the safety and the guarding of those officers as well. But guess what? If we aren't keeping the law they're enforcing, they're no longer there for our benefit. They're there to take us away and confine us from reality, right? Yeah. Well, they're there to protect. They're protecting those that are keepers of the law. And as a result of keeping the law, I receive the benefit of their protection. That's his word. Number three is the king's way. God has a way of doing things. God has a way he wants things done. And we are there to represent that and to carry that way out. There is a way. Bible says there is a way that seems right to man. But what prevails? The Lord's purpose. His plan prevails. Many are the plans in a man's heart. But again, it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. It is my job to see, many people want God's will, but their way. And it won't work. The moment your way shows up, it compromises his will. You okay? So I want to give you, we can go there. I'm going to give you 14 qualities of ambassadors. They're going to be on the screen behind me. So take a picture. Unless you want to type really fast, write really fast, they're on the screen behind me. Take a picture of it. 14. Yeah, we're teaching this morning. Roddy's coming after me. Pastor Roddy, he'll have you running and spitting and doing all that fun stuff. We're gonna write down 14 qualities of ambassadors. Number one, ambassadors are appointed and sent by the king only. And I also identify this, it's by the highest ranking official within a nation. They're not really representing angels. You're not representing anything lower. The highest ranking official has appointed you and sent you. Number two, they represent the state and the king. They represent the territory of the home country, and they represent the one presiding over the territory. Number three, they are committed to the state's interest. Fully committed. Fully committed. Number four, they embody the whole country, the home country. This is what that means. If someone challenges the ambassador, they've just provoked the nation the ambassador represents. Right. The king now will step in on behalf. It's as if you slap an ambassador, it's as if you slapped the president. Right. Now you're in international diplomatic problems. And this is the thing, guys. I'm just going to go. This will set you free too. Now you know you never have to take another attack personally. They're not attacking you. They're attacking the country and the one presiding over the territory. God says, vengeance is mine. I'll watch. And God remembered thousands of years later and had King Saul go after Amalekites that disrupted the plan in Israel when they were trying to go from Egypt to the promised land. He remembered all that time and said, go wipe them out. Yeah, because you embody the home country. Number five, an ambassador only speaks the king's position. Number six, they never express the values, opinions, or principles which contradict those established by the king. Never. They don't even have, you should have an original thought. We never have original thoughts in the kingdom. Just get comfortable with that. Because his thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. Come up to his. Ours are lower. Ours are lower. We think on things on the earth, but he says, set your mind on things above. This is what we call higher education. This is what we call a higher learning. Yeah? Number seven, the ambassador is totally covered, backed, and supported by the home country. You never have to worry about God having your back. You never have to worry about his support. You never have to worry about, is the government watching out for me, looking over for me, looking out for me? Not when you're fully committed as an ambassador. Number eight, they never become a citizen of the state they are assigned. Now, of course, we are naturally citizens of countries here in this room. Some of you have dual citizenship. Some of you have United States citizenship. We've got a family, Pastor Ramon, Pastor Carla here from Nicaragua, our AFC Nicaragua pastors. Amen. Let's give it up for them. Are in the house with us this week. Citizenship from another country. What we're talking about is not in the natural sense geographically. We're talking about I never have allegiance to both the world and the domain of darkness that I've been set free from and the kingdom of God. It's one or the other. And I am not swearing allegiance in any way to my former nation that I was transferred out of, redeemed from, delivered out of. Number nine, they never switch allegiance to the territory he's assigned. How can you represent your country if you're switching allegiance to the one you've been assigned to? Number 10, they're not limited. This is good. Not limited by the resources of the territory he's assigned. Well, that's good to know. I mean, you go look at the United States embassies in other countries. Regardless of how impoverished that nation is, the United States Embassy, it's like you just walked on. It is American soil. It is American soil. And it looks completely different than the nation it's surrounded by. Guys, if we're ambassadors, we should be more familiar with the country we've been sent from than the country we've been sent into. That's why Jesus said, they are not of this world as I am not of this world. He told Pontius Pilate, if my kingdom were of this world, amen. He's a representative. And you are never limited by the resources of the territory, which then leads us to number 11. You have access to all resources, wealth, and power of the nation he represents. An ambassador has the full access to the wealth, the resources, the ability. There's too many Christians. Again, that are living only to the level of the resource that's available to them in this country. Pastor Earl's got a powerful message called Dominionaire. It's greater than millionaire, is greater than billionaire, is greater than trillionaire. When you learn that your God owns the entire planet, everything belongs to you. You're never limited. If you learn to walk in dominion, if you learn to seek ye first the kingdom, all things are available and accessible to you. Whatever you need for your vision. He makes sure that it's supporting you. Number 12, the ambassador spreads the home country's influence throughout the territory he is assigned. That means you are spreading influence. You are not becoming influenced. Right. This is the biggest issue with the Israelites is every nation they went into, they started adopting their values, started looking like Canaanites, started looking like Amalekites, started allowing gods, started allowing worship that wasn't worship of the one true God, started marrying people, started creating unity and uniting with the people of the nation they're supposed to be overcoming and conquering.
Right.
And we're still doing this today. Number 13, they are completely protected. You have full protection. Full protection. By your government. You are never left out. Should never have another thought that says, does God even know? No, you're an ambassador sent by him. He knows where his ambassadors are. He knows what you're facing. He knows the challenges. And you have his protection. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right, but it shall not come nigh you. What happened in 2020, there should never have been one ambassador that said, you're not at the mercy of what's happening down here.
Yeah.
Start enacting the home country's values of healing and protection in your bodies. And number 14, they must remain in constant contact with the home country and its highest ranking officials. If you do not have a practice of unity with the Father through prayer, through worship, unity with the Holy Spirit, who's the governor, you cannot fully execute your role as an ambassador. Father, we thank you this morning. We walk in every benefit, every role, every privilege as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you that we can help extinguish darkness and execute the government of heaven in the earth, in this reality. Give us ears to hear and give us eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. We trust you received a word from God. If you enjoyed this teaching, be sure to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes. By subscribing, you'll be sure to receive a new message every week as soon as they are made available. And if you'd like to learn more about Anchor Faith Church, you can stop by our website at anchorfaithvaldosta.com. There you'll find our locations and service times, ministries that are available for you and your family. You can even give financially in support of the ministry. Thank you again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next time right here on the Anchor Faith Church podcast.